I don't know why I was awake. I was just like lying in bed, just like, bing, I'm awake. Weird. So, can you get out your Bible or your phone and get your phone, your Bible on your phone, not your phone on your Bible. Yeah, Bible on your phone. Please. And can you find Psalm 100, please? There's something about, you know, it's good to listen, isn't it, to Scripture. It's good to listen to it read out to us and all that. But there is something extra about actually having it in front of you and really looking at it, isn't there, at the same time. So everyone's going to have a slightly different version. I'm just going to read it to you. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. It's a really short psalm, but it's got so much in it. I'm just going to have to clean my glasses again. Karen will be ashamed of me because I left my glasses in the mission building and Karen had to clean them for me, and then she gave me a whole load of special cleaners to clean glasses with because they're obviously so disgusting. And I have to confess, I haven't used them. Excuse me, frock. It's the same sort of thing, isn't it? So this psalm is a joyful, exuberant response to God, Yahweh. It's an encouragement, it's an exhortation to praise, and it's an imperative, really. It's more than just an encouragement. It's almost like a command. You know, it's a real praise him, you know, come on guys, let's praise him, you know, that's kind of what it is. And it's addressed to Yahweh. So Yahweh, the one God, the God of all the gods that were knocking around, there's only one God. And of all the gods that are knocking around now, there's only one God. Only one God that warrants and is worthy of our praise. Now, we know this. I'm not going to really say anything today that you don't agree with. Well, I might say one thing. Now, creation has to praise him. Creation is subject to God in a way. And we're created, so we're part of creation. But there's something different about us. I don't know if you know that thing that's different about us. But we're made in his image, aren't we? Whereas frogs are not. They are an expression of his creativity, but they're not made in his image in the same way that we are. And so we have a special aspect to us, and that is we have choice, and we have free will, and we have reason. Now, I don't understand kind of quite the limits of created things, like, you know, people do experiments on chimpanzees, don't they, to see if they can, you know, they understand calculus and things like that. But they don't, you know, they can do certain things, but there's other things they can't do. So there's a limit to the reason of an animal. But with us, we worship. And we can say, because. We worship and we can say, for. We have a reason to worship. We don't just have to do it, you know, which is amazing, really, that we get to choose. And it says in Revelation 5, and I read this when I did my other talk about that kind of, about the throne room, was that creation all of creation joins in praising him. But it also says that we have those reasons for praising him. I'll kind of touch on that a little bit later on, I think. And there's a key verse here. I'm not going to kind of go through it like, you know, all like 1 to 5, like chronologically, if you like. We'll go backwards and forwards a little bit. In verse 3, it says, know that the Lord, and that word there, Lord, in capital letters, is Yahweh, is God. He made us. We are his. And then in other translations, it's we didn't make ourselves. Like, he made us, we didn't make ourselves. He is our shepherd. We're the sheep on his patch, on his pasture. It's his pasture. We're his sheep. Now, that's not just a statement of ownership. That's a huge relief. I'm just going to read Exodus 34, verse 6. And I think Dave Smith has been in these verses. Well, he's been in similar places. He's been looking at the Shema anyway. And this is where Moses is up on Mount Sinai early in the morning. It says, then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, Yahweh. And this is what he proclaims. He proclaims his name, which is Yahweh, but then it's the other bits that come afterwards. Proclaiming, and he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the Lord, so Yahweh, Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. But we go back to the first part. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. So in those verses, you've got encapsulated the character of the person of God. And there's two key words in that section there. So it talks about abounding in love. And the love that it's talking about there, I mean, it's a word that's lost in our language so much, because it's what we use one word to mean so many different things. But love there is chesed, which is faithful covenant love. I'll go into that a bit more. And the word faithfulness there is emuna, which is related to emet, which are two words from the same word family, which are to do with faithfulness and truth. So he's talking about himself as a faithful covenant loving God, faithful and true. That's who he is. And that's really, really important. And this is drawn out in the psalm. So what is this shepherd God like? The God that we're the sheep of his pasture, so that means really he's our shepherd. You know, what is he like? What I've just said in Exodus 34, and it's echoed here. It says, know that Yahweh is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And then it goes down, verse 5, well, end of 4. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love, that's his chesed, endures forever. His faithfulness, that's his emunah, his emet, continues through all generations, which is what we've just read. So the Psalms are echoing the truths in Deuteronomy, the truths in Exodus, and we'll look at some Deuteronomy truths later. This is who he is. God is good. God is good. This is why we praise him. However, so many times we doubt that God is good. So many times we doubt his character. And yet we are called to remind ourselves over and over and over again of what his character is. Because if I can't trust a God, I can't worship him. If I can't trust his character, his person, how can I worship that? Like with all my heart, how can I give my whole flesh and self to the worship of someone I don't really trust? That's not going to happen, is it? And he knows that. So there is here an exhortation to really get to know our God. So Yahweh is good, and his covenant love endures forever. His enduring active love. He says, I will stick with you. I will always keep my side of the deal. Right? The covenant is a deal. It's a series of promises. It's a series of vows. There's several types of covenant in the Bible. But he has made a covenant of love with us that says, I won't stop loving you. I will never stop loving you. In Isaiah 54, verse 10, it says, though the mountains be shaken, the hills be removed, yet my chesed for you, my unfailing love, it calls it there, will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace removed, says Yahweh, who has compassion on you. And it says it in Hebrews 13, verse 5, it's quoting Deuteronomy 31, and he says, never will I leave you, never will I give up on, abandon, or forsake you. Now, we say that, I say that all the time. I remind myself of that. You need to remind yourself of that. That's what his side of the deal is. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So faithfulness and truth are kind of like bonded together in the words, the Hebrew words. The truth of who he is. It's not just true things that he thinks or true things that he's taught. It's the truth of who he is in his character. It's his name. He is truth, yeah? He's reliable and stable. He is the rock, it says in Deuteronomy 2. He's steady as a rock, isn't he? It says, he is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. So we can put our trust in the trustworthy one. We can rely on him. And in 1 Corinthians 10:4, it tells us that Christ is the rock. So in case we're in any doubt, you know, how many rocks are there? There's one. Okay, so Yahweh is the rock. Christ is the rock. Christ is Yahweh. They're the same person. All that's true about Yahweh is true about Christ. All that's true about Christ is true about Yahweh. He's one God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but he's one God. One God. So Psalm 89 was actually written by Ethan. I don't think you realised that, did you? It was. I will declare that your chesed stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. Faithfulness is established in heaven. His faithfulness is established in heaven. He is established in heaven. The rock is in heaven. We are citizens of heaven. We are also there with him. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. And his throne is firm through all generations, through to Jesus. Jesus is the king who is now on the throne from the line of David. Jesus is on the throne. That promise is true. So when it says, give thanks to him and praise his name, it means praise his character that's been revealed. It doesn't just mean when I say praise, you know, I praise Jesus and I make sure I use his name, or I praise God and I make sure I use his name, or I praise Yahweh and I say that. It doesn't mean that. It means I praise all that he is. I praise every part of his character, the fact that he's faithful to me, the fact he said he always will be, the fact he said he won't ever leave me, the fact he is truth. You know, when Pilate said, you know, what is truth? You know, that was a question that couldn't be answered, because the answer wasn't what is truth, was it? The answer was that he is truth, that Jesus is truth, that he is the truth. And you can't, and like I said, I'm not telling you stuff you don't know, but I think when we need reminding of stuff, don't we? We need reminding of why we're praising. We need to be reminding of what causes us to praise, what causes us to do these things. So it says, when it says, give thanks to him and praise his name, it means, it says in other versions, it says, bless his name. But that word, and actually, I don't just look at words like for the sake of it, you know, just because I have somebody use the Greek or somebody use the Hebrew. It's because it's really important, because Greek and Hebrew say things that English doesn't. You know, there are so many concepts all packed into certain Hebrew words, and it's really important to unpack them so that we have a better understanding. It's because we want to grow in understanding, don't we? It's not just like head knowledge. It's because I said, like, we were given reason. When we grow in understanding, then we grow in love as well. You know, if I really get to know who he is and what he's like, then I'll grow in love. So this word for bless is barak, which does mean kneel before, but it also means kneel before and salute. It's like, whoa, I totally salute your character. you know, I bow before you, but how awesome are you? Yeah. That's kind of what that is. Now, in Jewish tradition, some Jewish traditions, the name of God, Yahweh, is too holy to speak. And when I was thinking about that, I thought, well, I think it's because so much is contained in that word, I am limiting him by saying his name, just saying it. Because it's like I'm trying to squeeze him into so many syllables and say, that's who you are. When, of course, he's so much, and it's his name is almost unspeakable. Yeah. And so they're onto something there. Yeah. And sometimes we use words that kind of just trip off our tongue. But do we realize what they contain? Just speaking to myself, really. Do I realize what that Yahweh I am? Yahweh, what does it contain? You know, I can't possibly contain the whole of God in that one word, can I? And it becomes blasphemous to them, because it's like you've belittled him that much that you've actually spoken his name. Now, I didn't used to understand why that was a thing, but I kind of thought, oh, I started to understand it this time round. Now, this psalm touches on more than just a personal and private response to our relationship with the Lord. Because you can come before the Lord and you can go, yeah, you know, I know you love me. And that's awesome. I know that you're faithful to me. And that's awesome. And it is. But this whole psalm, it's like a mini earthquake on a page. it's going like that. And you kind of think, is it really? Yeah, it's shaking. It's shaking. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Who's that addressed to? All the earth. All the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. It resounds with joy. The Psalms are public exhortation. It says, release the sound of joy. Declare the praises of the only God. Direct your response to him. Shout for joy. Worship him with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. That's three times joy and gladness are mentioned. So the gladness means festival, joy, laughter, pleasure. Come before the Lord with these like it with a festival spirit. Smiling, laughing, having a great time like you would at a festival. Because this psalm is people together. You know, it's saying, isn't it? You know, we are his people. You know, it's imagining it's a bunch of people together and we're all praising God together. Well, that happens that year, doesn't it? We have a bunch of people and we all come together and we all praise God. Come before him with joyful songs. Well, we know that there's, you know, some of our songs are joyful and some of our songs are meditative and some of our songs, they have different flavors, are worship songs. But a joyful song is an important song. And I really feel that, because when I said, oh, I'll do this psalm, I just said, I'll do this song. Psalm, I didn't really look at it properly or think about it. But as I looked at it, I felt like the Lord has a word for us in OCF, and it's that I want to release the sound of joy. I want to release the sound of joy in your bones. And actually, the thing that I wanted to say was he wants us to get rid of our misery. And you might say, well, I'm not miserable. Well, that's great. You know, I'm not pointing to any individual person and saying you're a miserable person. It's not an accusation. And neither is it an ignoring of certain sorrows or difficulties. That's not what it is either. It's not that. But it is a call to my own soul to awaken my soul to see the Lord and to be so connected and touched by him, by his own joy, that I am joyful. Yeah. Now, you do have joy. I'm not saying you don't have joy. I don't want this misread. However, I do think that he wants to shake us. Shake. He wants to shake me. In a good way. It's always good. And it is a correction. It is a course correction. Because, and I'll go on and explain why, because, but it is an earthquake psalm. Shaking. Do you want to be shaken? Yeah. Do you want to be woken up to reality? Yeah. Because what he's saying is we veiled to a world which is governed according to certain principles and is governed by certain people. But we are not governed by those same people in the same way. I mean, yes, there are certain rules and laws that we can have to do and all that sort of thing. I'm not going to mow people down on the road, for example. You know, there are things that to live in a decent society, we do things. But, you know, he wants us to live in this other reality more. Now, that doesn't mean you get sort of swept away being all, like, living in your monastery, sort of focused on the Lord all the time, and you're not part of this world. It doesn't mean that. But he does want to awaken us to a greater reality. And he wants to awaken me to it, and he has been awakening me to it more and more and more. And he wants to move our private joy to a public joy, from the private to the public, from the individual to the corporate, from the here to out there. And it says, shouts of joy, shout for joy to the Lord. A ruah is the shout. It can also be a trumpet blast. You know, I don't know, has anybody ever heard a shofar being blasted? You know, it's amazing the sound a ram's horn can make, isn't it? You know, it's like, woo! And Sue, when Sue comes, I mean, it'd be good if she could bring a shofar, because she's pretty good on the shofar, actually. There's a blast. But ruah, if you think about it, comes from ruach, which means like breath of God, means spirit of God, ruach. But it's a war cry. It's a battle cry. Amen. It says, I am not coming under your oppression. Yeah. I'm not coming under your oppression, world. No. Do I come under its oppression? Yes. But is that where you want to be? Under the oppression of the world? I do not want to be under the oppression of the world. I want to be where he is. And where he is in me. And I'm in him. So it's not like I have to go somewhere. But I do have to have my eyes opened. The eyes of my heart opened. I do have to have a shift in my thinking. I have to be transformed by this renewing of my mind. So there's a war cry that goes out. And the war cry is making a declaration. There are things in Revelation 5 which I kind of touched on before, but I'll just have a quick whiz to that. So we are going back to the reason why do we worship, you know. Well, it says, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. So that's a reason to praise him. But it's this one here, which the people, the elders, the 24 elders, they praise in this way. And it's a new song, which is interesting. It says, you are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men, people, for God, from every tribe and language, people and nation. And you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. And that's why we praise. That's why we praise, because we're part of that. So we have to have our eye all the time on that kind of, it's not just an end game, because it is an end game, but it's a now game as well. Yeah. It's a now game and an end game. And it's in Revelation, because Revelation means unveiling. It doesn't just mean every single thing that's written in here is only about the end times, because Revelation doesn't mean end times. Apocalypse doesn't mean end times. It means unveiling. It means a revealing of truth. So this truth that's happening now that will happen in fulfillment, but it's happening now. So this is why we praise, because we're part of that.
Yes, thank you.
We need to read that Revelation 5.